You are listening to WWBC, Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Coco, 99.9 FM.
Hello, space and treasure coves. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, right here in sunny Coco, Florida. We are heard on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and online everywhere in God's magnificent planet, Miss Ellen.
Exactly. And we get more and more viewers and more downloads each and every week from all different parts of the world, which is so cool. In all different parts of the United States. But you can download our shows on 1510 WWBC. They're right there archived, all of the shows that have been on for the last 12 years, believe it or not. And also on our website, cedamediainc.com. And then we also post everything on our Facebook pages as well. Each and every week, each and every guest gets their MP3 and downloadable options so that they can use it for their marketing as well.
Well, thank you for taking care of that part of this radio show, girl. You're like the right hand for the left.
Got it.
So I'm back from Mexico. I have to say, I had a wonderful trip, and I loved being with my grandson, baby James. My responsibility was to watch him in the evening, but have fun with 20 people under the age of 40. We had people that flew in from Chicago and Florida and other parts of the country. And they were all friends of Talbot's and Jasmine's. But I welcomed my responsibility because I used my time to reread To Kill a Mockingbird. And I read it all three nights, X amount of hours, and it was a wonderful read. And I totally understand it even more now than I did as a teenager.
Yeah.
Because I'm an adult, and there's so much wisdom in that book and so many messages for us to learn from history and put it with our life experiences and give back to this world if people would just read it and discuss it in a very civilized manner.
Right, exactly. It's a timeless book. It's one of those things, like we were talking about earlier, that our parents read and it made sense to them then and then later on in life. Because you said that you read it in high school, correct?
Yes. And so we have an action-packed show today. We sit here on Mondays, Ellen, myself, Samantha, Danny, and Paul. It's a good team, five of us. And we put this show on going on 12 years. We speak to people who are authors, professors of various things in this world. We speak with authors, scientists, business people, folks who want to talk about financial literacy, mortgages, whatever it is, politicians. And we have a robust conversation that is quite interesting, informative, unscripted, and we do so knowing quite well that it's a privilege to have this voice on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. And freedom of speech comes with a responsibility, and we try to be responsible. I think we, for the most part, we are. We are. And so today's no different. We've got two awesome guests today. Our first guest is going to be calling in from Rwanda. She is a repeat guest, repeat customer, I should say. My good friend Cindy Duke is calling in. She is the sister of, for listeners who tuned in last time she was on, she's the sister of one of the actors from the Black Panther, Mr. Winston Duke. And she's the daughter of my friend Cora Panton in Trinidad and Tobago. And I like to say she's a fellow trainee. So she's calling. She is a dual fertility expert and a virologist and a coach. And she does a lot. She also
got a podcast.
She's a clinical assistant professor at University of Nevada School of Medicine, founding physician and the medical director of her own practice. She is also studied in Trinidad and Tobago. She studied medicine here in the United States. She actually went to Bishop's High School in Tobago. And that is something that I am very proud of, because you often meet people who on the way up forget where they came from. And she's not one of those.
Yes. We've always had robust
conversations. So stay tuned. She might just find time to call in from Rwanda. She just had tea with the First Lady of Rwanda a few days ago, and I'm sure she's busy. So if she gets a chance, she'll call in. If not, we have a second guest who can talk for the whole hour if need be. Mr. John Modi is here, and he wrote a book called Half, and Stop and Think for a Minute, The Lion Prevailed, Mr. John Modi. And Mr. Modi, you have quite an extensive bio as well, and we're so proud that you're here with us on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
Thank you very much, and thank you for having me.
And you brought a lovely girl with you, your daughter, Kai. If you will just tell our listeners the proper name, your full name, because like they say in Trinidad, your proper name. Yes, Kaisha. And so as you know, I met Mr. Modi through Bakaska, Ellen. Mm-hmm. Bakaska is the Brevard Caribbean Cultural Association. And I was really impressed by his granddaughter's poems that she read that I'm sure he helped with. Because, of course, there's a message. And like we say on our show, we all learn from each other, life experiences, history, where we came from. And Mr. Modi himself has said to me several times, he learned from the people that came before him.
Yes.
That's I see you're shaking your head. So while we're waiting for Miss Cindy to call in, we just want to say a little bit, you know, we also have, every day we have things that are going on in the United States and around the world that makes a difference. And, you know, we are the trendsetters here in the United States. I can't tell you how many people in Mexico, once they found out we were from the U.S., they were respectable and kind to every guest. But people do love the United States, and they do love what we have to offer. And they love our money. They do. Yeah. Because I have to tell you, like, everyone who served us, it was an all-inclusive resort. And everyone who served, you know, the drinks, which I had a lot of Bahama Mamas and margaritas and pina coladas and things, we knew we had to tip. And every time I left a tip for someone, I thought of myself and of my mom and the people that came to the United States as immigrants and worked so hard, and how we depended on the kindness of strangers and the kindness of others to tip us when we were housekeepers, to tip us when we, you know, just started out. And so I gave generously because I know that God will give it back tenfold, you know. And I made good friends with a few people. I met a singer, a girl from Washington, D.C. She gave me her phone number. I've yet to call her and schedule her to come on the show. She was there with her whole family. And everyone stopped to say hi to Baby James. And, of course, Baby James kept saying hi to everyone. And then one of the ladies, the grandmother, said, you should talk to my granddaughter. She's a singer. And she's got a huge following on Instagram. And I'm like, oh, really? And so the girl came up and said hello. And we took a picture with the family. And I said, do you do rap or rhythm and blues? And she said both. I could just sense it. But the grandmother was so proud of this grandchild. She wanted me to know this. And I'm like, you're telling the right person because I want to know, you know. So I made friends with them. And then we met a few other people, which was nice. And, you know, we ate and drank.
And everybody wonders, how do you find people from all over the world to be on the show, Sita? And this is exactly how it is. You talk to everyone.
Well, the thing is, you know, there's a saying in Trinidad, awesome. you can't sit there like a mook. Right? Yeah. You've got to open your mouth and say hello, because when you do that, great things happen. People talk. And I think you get back from the universe what you put out. If you're going to stand there with a scowl on your face and not smile, I mean, smiling is free, then, you know, that's how it is. You know, people won't talk to you. They won't give back. But if you use your talent, gift, and ability to do something purposeful, then you get it back. Won't you agree, Mr. Modi? So we'll just chat a little bit. And because I see Ellen is trying to get Cindy to call in there. It could be that she doesn't have a connection in Rwanda. But we'll see. If you want to use the Facebook Messenger and call. You're taking... Look at you. You are the bomb. So don't you agree, Mr. Modi? I mean, that's how we met, right? Because we said hello.
Yes, yes. And people always say I know everybody. Because everywhere I go, somebody knows me. And they respect me. It's like good people send out a vibration and people respond to that vibration that they feel. You know, and if you have a good vibes, people will connect to you and will say hi. You know, that's what I go by, not the look, the outside. I feel the heart to heart.
Right.
You know, and the vibes, Rastafarians go by vibration. That's why they say Rastaman vibration is positive, because we go by the vibes we feel.
Well, we all know that airtime is expensive. And so we're going to start chatting with Mr. Modi while Ellen try to get Miss Dr. Duke on the line. So you call yourself Ras Michael?
Michael.
Is Michael regular Michael? You just spell it with a K?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought it was something fancy. And you were born in Jamaica, in Hanover, Jamaica, in the West Indies. Like, I know it's so nice to say West Indies. And you attended Rosiers High School, then transferred to Campertown High School. You graduated and came to the U.S. in 1973, completing 2 years in the National Youth Service Program. As a teacher, you were a teacher at Wynwood Road Primary. So you joined the U.S. military, and then take it from there. Tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and your honorable discharge from the military.
Yes, I joined the military in 1977. I went in as an avionics communication repairman. I was sent to Fort Hood, Texas. From there, I got a call, from a spiritual call, where I felt that someone called me and I had to go search to know where that call came from. And so I went on a spiritual journey to find who called me. And in that call, when I finished, I wrote the book, Hath the Lion Prevail. During that time in the military, I started to grow my locks. And you know, that's a no-no within the military. But because I didn't want nothing to stop me from finding where the call came from, I was defiant with the military. So they gave me a medical, retired me, because I was such a good soldier. I made E5 in less than 2 years, and I was an excellent soldier. I had people always in my corner. So
you'd say it was a spiritual calling.
Yeah, it was a transcendental experience that I went on a journey to find who called me, you know, and because he says, seek and you shall find.
Right. So do you have Rastafarians in your family, in your background?
No, I grew up in Jamaica, so I knew of the Rastafarians. I was brought up in the church. I was always going, you know, in the island.
Yes.
You go to church on Sunday, you don't come home till late at night. And 4 or 5 days of the week, you would be in the church. So I grew up as a Christian in the church. That's why I'm so very knowledgeable about the Bible and truth, because that's how I was brought up. So in that search is when I found Rastafari. Haile Selassie, within the personage, reveal himself to me. That's why I am so knowledgeable about the Rastafarian faith, because of what I found in my search.
While I was reading your book, Mr. Moody, I have to say I didn't know all the stuff about the Rastafarians. Because, you know, there are some people that only know about the Rastafarians through Bob Marley. And some people have negative feelings and some have positive feelings. But people don't actually look beyond Bob Marley and look at the words he was singing. We all heard him sing about the rivers of Babylon. And there are some people that they reject that Babylon was associated with oppression and materialism, right? So talk to us a little bit about Haile Selassie. He was a king.
Okay. First of all, we have to go to Marcus Garvey. Marcus Garvey.
He was also Jamaican, wasn't
yes,
he? Yes,
Marcus Garvey. He gave Africans all over the world a pride within themselves. You know, he first said, you know, if the white man can see God in his white image, then we as a people should see God in our own image. So we're going to worship the God of Africa, the one God, the true God, and we're going to worship him through the eyes of Ethiopia. We're going to worship the God of Ethiopia. He's told us to look to Africa when a black king shall be crowned, when a black prince shall be crowned, but that would be the day of African's redemption. So in 1930, November 2nd, Haile Selassie was crowned King of Kings, Lord of Lords, conquering Lion of the Tribe of Judah, Elect of God, and Light of the World. So during that time, we know that God would come on earth, not as a lamb to be slaughtered, but as a conquering lion. Not as a peasant for them to spit on him and jeer him and crown him with crown of thorns, but as King of Kings and Lord of Lords to sit upon the throne of David. So when that happened, and we know Haile Selassie is coming out of the lineage of King Solomon and Queen Sheba, who bring forth a son named Menelik, son of a wise man. Menelik is the one who bring the Ark of the Covenant from Jerusalem with Solomon back to Ethiopia. So that's where the throne of God, which is David, is, which is in Ethiopia, the throne of David. So the Ark of the Covenant is in Ethiopia. The throne of David left from Jerusalem because God knows that Jerusalem would be destroyed. And so that's why everything was left. The new Jerusalem was bring down to Ethiopia. So when we saw that Haile Selassie was crowned, we went to the Bible and started finding out, who is this man? That's why I asked the question, hath the lion prevailed? Because in Revelation chapter 5.
Yeah, you quoted the Bible quite a lot this little book. This, Ellen, I swear to you, this little book with 43 pages, Mr. John Mody was able to take certain things out of the Bible and condense it into this tiny book and make us, the reader, understand how the Bible is entwined with his religion.
Yes.
His culture.
Rastafarian is not a religion. It is a truth that will reach the four corners of the earth that people will hear and say for surety, this is true.
It's kind of like a religion because the way I look at it, like you have Christianity, you have Hinduism, you have Buddhism, okay, and then you have the Rastafarians.
Rastafarians are Christians.
I'm glad I'm getting a good teachable moment.
Rastafarians are Christian, mm-hmm, because we say Haile Selassie is Jesus of Nazareth returned in his kingly form.
Yes.
So we, like in Ezekiel, when Ezekiel saw the dry bones and he took, the father told him, you know, this is the whole house of Israel. And he said, you know, what they need is food and water. They need food. They need sinew. What is the food? The word. So they need the word. They need truth to rise up. How do you going to get the food? They got to teach them. That's what my book is about.
But you know, like you said, it's Christianity. But when you read it, It's not mainstream Christianity.
No, but the thing about it is, according to what the father told Ezekiel, he's going to use the rod of Joseph, which is Jesus, and the rod of Judah, which is Judaism, and bring them together, make it called Judo-Christian. That's what Rasta is.
Okay, gotcha. So how many Rastafarians would you say there are worldwide? I know in 1997 they said there were about 1 million.
No.
And 29,000 people identified themselves as Rastafarian based on the census way back in 2011. So I'm sure that has increased by now in Jamaica.
In Jamaica. In Rhodesia, in South Africa,
yeah,
there's over 3 million Rastafarians. Rastafarians is all over Africa because, you know, the father told us that he's going to bring all his people together. And how is that going to happen? It's got to happen because, you know, he told you that he's going to take 144,000 angels who will have special powers of heaven and earth to bring all the Father's job together. He promised David that where he scatters his children, he's going to bring them back together. So all this is going to happen. Under what? You see, another thing, Christians, so they believe in Jesus and they believe in God. Believe is a doubt. When you believe something, you're not sure. You're living in the middle, and he tells you you're lukewarm. You cannot be in the middle. You have to know or you don't know.
So I would think you've read that Bible from cover to cover. The way this book was written, I was like, how does this man know all of this? Because you were able, you speak of pretty much every person that mainstream Christians speak about in this book.
Yes.
And the book is 46 pages.
Well, another thing you must remember, the Father told you that he's going to send you a comforter. And the comfort is going to be within you. He's going to teach you truth. So in you is someone who, if you come to know the Father, the spiritual comforter in you will show you truth, will bring you to light.
Well, you know, Ellen, I don't know if you know much about the Rastafarians, but when I was growing up in Trinidad, they would say that Jah is the God of the Rastafarians. But a lot of people didn't understand what that meant. When people would say Jah is the God. Of course, on our show, we have people that come in to speak about books that they write. And you are an author, Mr. Moody. And you're also a poet. So talk to our listeners a little bit because, you know, on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, we do get an education. And it's beautiful because knowledge is power, right?
Yeah, that's why you don't believe.
Right. So when we learn something, when we learn something, it's good.
Yes,
so I want to know, when people used to say Jah is the God of the Rastafarians, tell us exactly where did that word Jah come from?
Right. Psalm 68.
Okay.
He says, right upon the heavens, they call his name Jah. Jah is the Father. Rastafari is the Son. Haile Selassie is the power and might of the Holy Trinity. Put them together. Jah Rastafari Selassie. That's the fullness
really?
Of the power of the Trinity.
Look at that. Did you know that, Al?
I didn't.
That's the fullness of the Trinity. For Jah is the Father, Rastafari is the Savior, which is the children, because it said, my children shall be called by my name, hence Rastafari. And Haile Selassie, the King of Kings, is the power and might of the Holy Trinity. All right. If I ask you, who is the King of Kings? What are you going to tell me? If I ask you, who is the King of Kings?
I don't know much, but I'll probably just say in England, I would say King Charles.
No, most people would say Jesus.
Well, see,
if
I should have, right?
Who is the Lord of Lords? They're going to say Jesus.
Jesus.
Who is the conquering
lion
of the
tribe? Yeah, if you're speaking about religion, yes, I would say Jesus. If somebody asked me, who is the
conquering lion of the tribe of Judah? They're going to say Jesus.
Jesus, yeah.
Now, ask history. Who on the face of the earth come and proclaim that title? One man, Haile Selassie, power and might of the Trinity. For the Bible tells you, you'll have on his vesture a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Okay, one man come on the earth with such a title. They're telling that Jesus is supposed to come. Rasta say he's already come.
So the Rastas believe that he's a reincarnation?
No, they don't believe. They know.
They don't believe. They know. Oh, so you strike out the word believe.
Yes, believe is the doubt.
Believe is when
you're lukewarm. It's like you say, you and your grandson or your daughter went out in the street. And when you come back, it started to rain and you say to her, did you close my car window? And she say, I believe so. Here's the doubt.
Yes.
It comes from the word be.
Well, that's when I get up from the bed and I go and I check.
Yeah.
But you know, sometimes you're right though, because the other day I said to myself, I'm not sure if I closed the back door to the house. So I turned around. I was doubting myself. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I didn't believe I had closed it. Mm-hmm. And I turned around and sure enough, the door was not locked.
Yeah. Now, believe is a doubt. That's why the Father told you, you don't want it to be lukewarm. You either know or you don't know. If you don't know, you're lying.
So why did it take the world, like the international world, to become aware of the presence of Rastafarians due to increased popularity in reggae music? Like, people didn't know much about the Rastafarians until reggae music.
All right, but if you read on to Revelation chapter 5, at the bottom of it, it said they will come and sing a new song giving praises to the Lamb that was slain. Mm-hmm. So hence, reggae music is the music that's giving praises to the Lamb that was slain. Hence, Jesus returned in this kingly and conquering form. That's why we worship Haile Selassie through reggae music. It's the teaching. Reggae music teaches the people. It's a food that the people need, like Ezekiel dry bones. They need food. It's the truth. that must transcend the four corners of the earth.
Yeah.
So this is a lot of old, if we were doing the relatability, this is a lot of Old Testament, right? Much more Old Testament than New Testament, because the New Testament is my interpretation of more of the Jesus likeness.
Yeah,
right?
The Old
Testament is more of the truth and the way.
Starting from Genesis, when Isaac was giving out his blessings to his children, he said, Judah, thou art the one that thy brethren should praise. So he knows Judah is the one that all the children of the world is going to praise. So Judah is the lion's well. You know, we know that God's going to come out to the lion of Jesse. In Psalm, God promised David that he himself, God, would come down and sit on David's throne. And also in Acts, the apostle says, being a prophet and knowing in truth that God sworn unto David of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, would raise up Christ to sit on David's throne. We know that Christ, when he came on earth the first time, did not sit on David's throne. So he must return on earth to sit on David's throne. And another thing, he said, I'll come like a thief in the night. Now, when a thief comes to your house, you do not know that a thief has come to your house until he's gone. Then he'll be revealed to you that he was here. That's what the Rasta man is doing. Revelation.
Right.
He's revealing to you.
So I was just going to say two of the, I know it's so beautiful the way he explains it. Like, well, I haven't heard this before.
You know, it goes back to the same thing we talk about a lot of times, Sita. It's like you don't know everyone's culture, right?
Right.
But every time we get exposed to a new culture, every time we get exposed to a new way of thinking or a new opportunity for us to be peaceful and love thy brother a little bit better than when maybe we did before.
Right.
It's such a welcoming experience. I can't wait to read the book.
It's a quick read.
Yeah.
So I read that there are certain religious ceremonies that the Rastafarians have, and it's called reasoning and grounding. So can you talk to us a little bit about reasoning and grounding?
Is how we,
and it says it's the two religious ceremonies of the Rastafarians.
Well, reasoning is how we get to know, learn about from each other. We have a saying that we say, iron sharpens iron.
Mm-hmm.
So when we reason with one another, what we didn't know, someone else, through the spiritual connection, will teach us. Like, for example, Rastas don't have a book or a congregation or anything that goes out and say, this is the teaching that we teach in. But wherever in the world you go and you meet one Rasta, he will teach you according to the same Rasta in Jamaica, in Africa, in Ethiopia, wherever they go, because we are connected to one vine. We know each other by feeling the vibrations from each other. We speak the same language, even though we don't have an organization that sends out messages and say, this is what our teachings are. But like I told you, from the inborn concept of the comforter that teaches us, we have all the same knowledge that Father gives us. And he goes again and tells us, Rasta know their Bible. That's one thing you'll realize. They know their Bible, and they use the King James Version. And people say, how can you use the King James Version? But the Father told us, my sheep knows my voice.
So does the Rastafarians have a place where they congregate, a church or
some,
a temple?
Where do they
use the King James Version of the Bible?
Yes. There are places that the Rastafarian connect. Like we have what we call Nyabingi, our groundation. We are like on coming up July 23rd is the day when Haile Selassie came forth on this earth, 1892. So that is a celebration for, we know that the Bible told us that unto us a child would be born, unto us a son would be given, and the government should be on his shoulder. He'll be called the Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace, and upon the throne of David he would sit to govern it. So we know that a child would be born that would become the Savior, be called the Mighty God. So we know on July 23rd, there'll be a celebration all over the world about Rastafarian celebrating.
I heard once that when they celebrate, That's when they smoke ganja. They have a feast. They sing and dance. Now, tell me, I don't want that to sound in a negative way.
I know.
But I was reading up about Rastafarians before the show, and they were saying that the usage of cannabis is one of the common ways
it's a sacrament.
So talk to us a little bit about that, because mostly now people are all into CBD and it helps your joints. And so how did that cannabis become acquainted with the Rastafarians?
All right, because
you seem to know a lot.
The first thing we know that marijuana was found on the grave of Solomon, which hence is the wisest man on earth. We know that the father told us that the seed bearing plant would be food for the nation. We know that it's called a wisdom weed. When we smoke, I don't use it anymore, but used to. When we smoke, it gives you, it's like it opens up your spirit consciousness that transcends beyond what we were taught. It's like in the society, you're in a box of what is reality. But when to get to know fullness of what the universe is, you have to come out of this box that's called reality and go out there. And when you smoke the marijuana, it bursts out you from this box that's called reality, and you start to see different aspects of the world. You see things differently. Rastaman been telling them for generations to legalize marijuana, for it's the healing of the nation. We have been telling them many years ago that they need to legalize. Even Peter Tosh.
Yeah, because I remember that back home when people smoked weed, like my father would tell us, he would say, you guys have to be careful of the guys on the junction that's smoking weed. But guess what? My father's gone. All his cousins are gone. His friends are gone. And the fellas who were smoking the weed are still alive.
Yeah, because they used to tell you mad.
They're alive with gray dreads, but they're still alive.
Yeah.
So there was something to the properties of the weed.
Yeah.
Not that I'm an advocate that people should go out and smoke weed, but I'm just saying there had to be something about the Rastafarians on the junction in Trinidad that was smoking the weed.
Yeah, because it's an eye-opener.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it opens the eyes, good medicine. It's good for so many things that they are using in a quote for medical purposes. Yeah, but it's a powerful.
So did you find, Mr. Modi, that writing the book, was it like a cleansing of your soul, like a spiritual thing for you? Because you were spoken to. You were in the U.S. Army, and you had this spirituality, this moment that came over and said that something was telling you to write this book and delve more into the Rastafarian way of life. How they lived, their peaceful nature. You wanted to bring out the positive aspects of that. How did you feel when you wrote the book, and was it well received by your family and friends and the community?
The Nyabingi Order of the Rastafarians is one of the highest orders of the Rastafarian, the most respected order of the Rastafarian. They wrote me a letter and tell me this is a powerful tie-up of what the Rastafarian is all about. You know, one lady told me, she said, "Sir, my father gave me your book and the Bible and said, this is what you need to find your way."
Yeah. So, and I read one of the verses in the book, and I remember this distinctly because I was raised a Hindu, and I went to Christian schools, and I celebrated Eid and everything else. In Trinidad, you celebrate all the cultures and you're part of it.
Before you go on.
Yeah.
Heselassie has a saying that we should respect each other's faith and religion because we do not know who is right and what's God's plan. Okay, so we do not condemn any faith or religion as a Rastafari.
Yeah, that I know from ever since.
But one thing we always said, Yeshua said it, in my father's mansion, there are many rooms. So you could be in one room, I could be in another room, another faith, another religion, but we are all under the same umbrella.
That's right. Yeah, it's a tent.
Yeah.
It's a tent.
Call it a mansion.
Yeah. Well, before we go to break, I just wanted to say, Al, I read this verse in the book, and I remember that I pointed it out to my husband. It says, "The people that walk in darkness have seen a great light, that they that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. And that's Isaiah 9:2. It's a powerful verse if you think about it. So we're going to go to break.
Yes.
Hear a little bit from our sponsors. And we're just going to keep talking. The hour is going to be spent in a very unscripted manner, just learning and growing and getting the knowledge that we need to make ourselves better human beings.
Amen. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned. Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
Furniture is a family-owned furniture dealer featuring the best and most affordable brands. They offer all servicing for free. Delivery, setup, and home, removal of old furniture, and warranty. Work with a reputable and experienced local business as they strive for excellence with their customers. Scotty's been in the mattress and furniture business for 32 years. You can shop online, call, or stop into the showroom to place an order. They are conveniently located inside the Merritt Square Mall and service all of Brevard County in Central Florida. Super savings sale happening now. That's Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture, 321-459-2473. Visit them on the web at Cloud 9. That's Cloud number 9. Furniture.com. Again, 321-459-2473 for Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture. When you need medical care and need it fast, MedFast Urgent Care is faster and less expensive than emergency rooms. MedFast is open 7 days a week, now with 13 locations, including one in Volusia County. With so many MedFast Urgent Care centers, there is a MedFast near you. MedFast offers top quality care that is close by, and the number is easy to remember. That is 321-MEDFAST. You just call 321-MEDFAST. No one wants to wait in an emergency room for hours and get even sicker when you get the high bill. What you want is medical care fast. That's why you call MEDFAST, where most patients are seen and treated in less than an hour. So when you need medical care fast, call 321-MEDFAST. MedFast. Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great-tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000, 321-268-5000, or visit them on the web at dixiecrossroads.com. Jotkoff Financial Group is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive relationships with clients. Jotkoff Financial Group can assist you in meeting your accounting, tax, and business consulting and financial planning and insurance needs without expanding your internal workforce. With three locations here in Florida, here in Brevard County, Broward County, and Nassau County, contact Jotkoff Financial Group here in Brevard at 321-984-7345. Located at 1122 South Wickham Road in Melbourne, that's Jotkoff Financial Group. On the web, you'll find them at www.jotkoff, that's JOTKOFF.com. Call the professionals at Jotkoff Financial Group today.
There's something special about the place we call home. It's the place we live our lives, spend time with family and friends, and make our own. At St. Francis Reflections Hospice, we consider it a privilege to care for you wherever your home may be. We put our hands, hearts, and skills into providing high-quality hospice care in your home. To learn more about how we reflect life, love, and compassion, visit www.reflectionslsc.org.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. Right here in Cocoa, Florida. We're on AM 1510, FM 94.7, FM 99.9, 100.7 on the World Wide Web. And I have to say, Ellen, I'm beginning to think that our friend Cindy Duke did not get hooked up to Wi-Fi. to call in from, what did I tell you?
Rwanda.
Yeah.
So, and I just checked there to make sure it wasn't like, you know, 2 a.m. in the morning or something, but it's 8 o'clock in Rwanda.
It is. It's okay. Well, like my good friend Kai just said, everything happens for a reason, right? And we're having quite a robust discussion with author John Modi on, and the book is called Hath the Lion Prevailed. And Mr. Modi, I was just thinking as we went to break, you know, we all hear about different religions and cultures in school, or we learn about it from watching the news, life experiences, attending festivals, like we've got the India Fest here. People learn about India and things. And most people, when they go on a cruise and they're dancing to reggae and calypso, they don't think about the artist or artiste behind these songs. And I was just watching something that Bob Marley had said, and basically he had said, you're something about live your life. You know, go ahead and just live your life. Yeah, there's a quote, a very, very interesting Bob Marley quote that says, live and love your life. And as we are talking here on the radio about your book, I couldn't help but remember when I opened your book on chapter 2, you had spoke about Jesus of Nazareth and that he was a teacher who thought the truth about Jah. He found the spirit of Jah, which dwelled in us, all of us. In other words, he found himself knowing from Hebrew teachings that we were all children of Jah. So if you had, for example, someone of a deep Christian faith that disagrees with that, how do you use the reasoning to reason with them and explain to them that if you can't find a good person, you become one yourself? Because there are people, naysayers, right, who would say that it is not associated with Christianity.
Well, one thing you must remember, Haile Selassie is a Christian king. Ethiopia is the oldest Christian kingdom. They have the oldest Bible in the world. Haile Selassie was recognized as the defender of the Christian faith. So, you know, Jesus knew that he would come again. Okay? He let us know. Yeah. He's gonna become as a person. They told us God is a spirit, you cannot see spirit and all that stuff. That's why Jesus came. You know, Jesus said, nobody, you know, it's like, how can you be a Rasta? Rasta is not something you just become. You just don't be a Rasta. Yeah.
It's a way of life. It's a way of life. It's spirituality.
Yeah, but
it's a culture.
Yeah, but the thing about it is, you have to listen to the Bible and what Jesus Christ said.
Word by word.
Yes, he said, nobody come unto me unless the Father draw them to him. Okay, so God has to literally call you for you to come to him. And you cannot get to the Father unless you go through Jesus. Because Jesus is not the Father. For you to know the Father, you have to come through Jesus.
That's right.
So that's why Rastas accept Jesus. Because we cannot get to know the Father unless we come through Jesus.
Yes, I got you.
So
accept the Son to get to the Father.
Son, yeah.
Right.
Because that's why, Bob Marley said, you know, you talk about people listening to reggae music, and, you know, he said, this could be the first trumpet, might as well be the last. Because people are not listening. It's going to be like in the days of Noah.
Yeah, I always find like people will sway to the music. But if you stop and just print those words out, he has a message in every song. And the quote I was trying to remember was the one that he says, love the life you live, live the life you love. And mm-hmm. that was him. So I want to go back to the king, Haile Selassie. And his significance to Ethiopia. You said there's a lot of people in Ethiopia who are Rastafarians.
Yeah.
Is there a resting place for Haile Selassie?
No, they claim that in 1975 he died.
Uh-huh.
So a lot of people say, where is your God? Your God is dead. But you must remember, I said, Haile Selassie, Jesus of Nazareth, returned in his kingly form. Now, Haile Selassie's name is the conquering lion of the tribe of Judah. What did he conquer to be called the conquering lion of the tribe of Judah? Jesus conquered death. And if I'm telling you, here's the last, is Jesus returned in the that's what he conquered. He conquered death. So there cannot be no death within it. Because death has already been conquered. Jesus said, he that knoweth me, though he was dead, yet shall he live. And those that liveth and knoweth me shall never see death.
So I'm reading that part where it says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Yes.
That's John 14:16. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So the Rastafarians do believe in the Bible.
We don't believe.
So what is the difference here's the diet, right? The diet is, let's talk a little bit about the Rastafarians' diet. Lots of fish,
mm-hmm.
no pork.
Mm-hmm.
They're very peaceful people.
Rastafarians, that's one thing people
tell
you.
Yeah, very peaceful.
Rastafarians are very peaceful people. But you see, if you continue to read where you were reading about in the darkness, mm-hmm. Those that in the shadow of
those that come to the Father but by me.
Yeah.
Well, we only have like 10-15 minutes left, okay. So I won't be able to find it now.
But what he was saying was that, you know, Rastafarian has gone through the afterbirth grime and was hated by everyone in Jamaica because of who they are. You know, it was the worst thing to be a Rastafarian in Jamaica. But if Rasta was such a bad seed, he would have died out a long time ago. He would have been killed because they tried and tried to kill that seed. But the seed had to grow.
So where I often wonder where Bob Marley found the inspiration for his wisdom. Because another quote he said was, the truth is everybody's going to hurt you. You just got to find the ones worth suffering for, right? And a lot of the times, a lot of the songs he wrote was from his heart. When he wrote No Woman Don't Cry, I think he was talking about his mother in that one, because his mother suffered a lot to bring him into the world. But like you said, I don't understand why Jamaicans would hate the Rastafarians. What was it about the Rastafarians that made certain people dislike them? Was it...
Like Jesus. What did Jesus do? He only do good. He was only peaceful. And they tried to kill him. He was just like the Rastafarians. They were peaceful people coming with an idea and a philosophy that they did not like. That the whole world is like when Jesus came into the world was in just a, you live, you die. All bunch of problems in the world. And you live and you die. Here comes this black knotty-head Rasta man talking, because he had locks. He took the oath of the Nazarene. In Numbers 6, he talked about the oath of the Nazarene, where you should not let any razor come up on your head.
Yeah. Well, you know, what I'm thinking as you're speaking is, we all say we come into the world with nothing and we leave with nothing, except your good name and your character, mm-hmm. right? And when I speak to you, that's what I see and that's what I hear, is that you're a man, you may not have a building for organized religion, but you do have a heart that is pure, and you're trying to spread a message that yes, life is worth living. If you could find that way, that path that makes you a better human being, and you respect everybody, you respect all religions, and you respect all cultures, where can people find you, Mr. Modi, if they want you to give a speech and enlighten them about the Rastafarians and their way of life and what you've just told us here on our show? It's amazing.
You can find my book on Amazon.com. There's two books. You know that. There's a children's book called Daddy, Tell Me About the Rastaman.
Oh, this I need to start with that one.
Yes.
That's a conversation between a daughter and her father about Rasta. The daughter is asking the father questions about what Rasta is all about. And he explained to her, and she asked some very intriguing questions, and he explained to her what Rasta is all about. You can find both books at Amazon.com, and my publisher is Author House. So you can go to AuthorHouse.com and find both books.
That's awesome.
Also, you can always reach me mm-hmm. on my email at jmoodie55@gmail.com.
Yeah. We'll make sure we put all our info. One of the things I was reading about, and one of the things I remembered from my friend that I was sharing with you, that I remember him telling me stories all the time, and they were like, they were these really rich stories. But two of the things that came out of it were the basic two commandments that it seems like the Rastafarians live with, right? It's that you know, you believe in God and you love your neighbor. You love God, you love your neighbor. And with that kind of philosophy and that, I mean, we have, you know, in the Christian religions, right, in the general Christian religions, it's Ten Commandments. But boy, it just boils down to those two things. Love God and love your neighbor. And how can you go wrong with following those principles,
right? It's like,
through your heart and through our communities, right?
Right. It's like what Bob Marley said, another great quote, never expect God to do for you what you don't do for others. That is in itself is profound.
Yeah, but
because most people would want to put their hands out for something good to happen to them, but they don't extend themselves to other people. I think one of the good things about the Rastafarians is, from what I'm hearing you saying, is they treat everybody equally. They don't discriminate. You don't have to have the dreads and smoke weed and to be treated equally and respectfully, and you come in peace. So here in the United States, I mean, we see and we hear a lot of politicians and people that use hate and division and racism and bigotry to divide people. Because when you divide people, you conquer them, right? So how do you use your book and your wisdom and your life experience to bring people together?
Truth. Truth conquers everything. Don't matter how dark the room is, once there's a light in there, the darkness disappears. People need to speak the truth, no matter what it is.
And where did you, how long did it take you to write the book? How long did it take you to write? So for our listeners who are tuning in, we're speaking with an author. His name is Mr. John Moody. He's one of my brethren from the Bakaska movement here, the Brevard Indian, the Brevard Cultural Association. You know it by heart. It's a long name.
It is a long name.
Yes.
However, and it's they are having some fantastic events at Bakaska, through Bakaska.
This
I've
entire
been posting
month.
Them. Yep, I've been posting them on my page as well. So I want to make sure that everyone knows that those events are fantastic for you to join. They're family oriented. You'll learn something new, I promise. I didn't know much about cricket before I started hanging out over there. But Mr. John Moody, I see you with your book open.
Yeah, I don't think he can read the entire thing, though. Just a couple of lines would be great.
I was going to read the poem at the back of the book.
Yeah, I don't think we have enough time for the entire poem, but maybe a few lines.
It says, another book says, "Hath the Lion Prevailed?" Now, the title of this poem is "The Lion Hath Prevailed." It says, "Worship idols, worship Buddha, worship Romans fail, but we claim the Lion of Judah because he hath prevailed. You read not of his speeches, you hear not of his tales, but true inspiration teaches Judah's Lion hath prevailed. A smoking flax shall he not quench, but bring forth judgment unto truth. He lay himself on David's bench and call upon the youths. Through the schemes of evil nations, his words we seldom hail, but who can conquer revelation when the Lion hath prevailed? His love for man is widely spread. Can we forever fail to know for us his blood was shed, but now he hath prevailed? But lack we may of more to know, still we are satisfied, because we now have seen the glow of his Selassie. We care not who denounce him, we care not who agree, but now we have accepted him, the vine of David's tree. How could the seven seals be broken to depart us from travail? Now that Zion's king has spoken, we know he hath prevailed."
Wow.
Beautiful.
That poem is, nobody knows who wrote it.
Right. And you know what bugs me is that, you know, like if you, the Muslims go to Mecca for the Prophet Muhammad, then the Hindus, we have our tombs and places in the Ganges and things. But Taj Mahal, there's a tomb there, right? Mm-hmm. But you're saying for the Haile Selassie, there is no place that you all could go and congregate and even celebrate his life.
We congregate in different places, like there have places where they call it groundation, where they have a place where they meet.
Yeah.
All across the world.
A spiritual thing.
Yeah, and we beat drums and
burn
fire.
We need to go to that, Ellen.
Oh my God.
We need to attend. So how old was the king when he died?
He did not die. We'll not say that.
When he disappeared. When his earthly body left.
We do not know where he is. He was he was born in 1892 until 1975. The math.
And now I finally put it together, the colors of the hats and the rags and the
Ethiopian flag.
Yeah, well, the gold was, it says the colors are red, gold, and green. It signified the three phases of the Trinity. So we have 1 minute for you to explain that quickly to us.
Okay.
The red is?
When we were born, this is the earth. It's full of blood, destruction. That's the red. You seek higher ground because the Father called you. You travel to the gold. That's where you believe. You're not sure. When you need to go to find the truth, you go higher ground, which is the green. It's like when you're in the stoplight at the crossroad, when you see the red, you stop. When you see the gold, you are in between. You do not know whether to go or come. But when you get the green, you're full of...
I love the... the reasoning, the grounding and reasoning is awesome, right? Yes, it's like the older you get... The bolder we get, the more we open our minds and our intellect and we learn. And you could take what you can from it and become a better human being. Or you could not listen and say, well, I don't want to learn anything. But it's just great to have you, Mr. Modi,
Thank
and learn so
me.
Much about something that we all dance to and listen and pay respect to Bob Marley and respect to the Calypsonians. And I come from the islands. And it's so wonderful for me to have this knowledge because knowledge is power in my mind.
It's a true knowing.
Yeah.
It's the true knowing.
Yes.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, folks, for tuning in to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here on 1510 AM, 94.7, 99.9, and 100.7. We are here each and every Monday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you next week.